Hi there, you're listening to a message from Shiloh Tabernacle. I hope you enjoy it and be blessed.
Rather, you must, somebody say must. It's not an option. somebody. You must do what? You must grow. You must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You were born again. I don't know when you were born again. But let me tell you, if there's no change from the day that you were born again up to now, there's reason for concern. I speak to you this. This to you as I speak to myself. There is what? Reason for concern. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3, he says, how do you begin to grow? 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3, he says, so, in the New Living Testament, he says, so do what? Get rid of all evil behavior. You get rid of it, not God. You know, the problem is with us is that most of us are waiting on some peculiar hand to come down from heaven and begin to remove these evil behaviors in our life. Let me tell you, you're going to be waiting for a long, long time. It is you and I. So do what? Get rid of it. Be done with this old, not some, all deceit. All. Somebody say all. Now, in the church, we have some of these things. They are there. They are there in preachers. They are there in musicians. They are there in the ushers. They are there in the men. They are there in. Come on. We need to get rid of all of them. All what? All deceit. Hypocrisy. That one is a big in the body of Christ. What you see here is not what is behind. What you see is not what you get. In you, is it what you get? As a husband, is it what your wife gets? As a wife, is it what your husband gets? As an employee at your place of work, is it what your boss gets? Is it what your colleagues get? In church, is it what your fellow Christians get? At school, is that what they get? Or is it hypocrisy? In the name above every name, I have the anointing today to destroy every spirit of hypocrisy in the body of Christ this afternoon. I command it to die in the name of Jesus. Hypocrisy. Jealousy. Wait for your turn. Today it's me. Tomorrow it's somebody else. Tomorrow it's you. I have told you many times about the times in Uganda when there were shortages of essentials. And they would bring this bag of sugar and put it in a villager and say 100 people, about 200, are going to take a kilo each. And they would line up. And there would be this chief who would be distributing the sugar, although some of them had no corruption, they didn't know how to give sugar to people who were not even in the line. But in the line of God, in the queue of God, there is no corruption. I have come to tell you, there is no corruption. Whenever somebody got sugar, guess what? The line would draw closer. By the end of the day, I don't care how long it took, you would get your sugar and you would go home as satisfied as the person who was there first. So hang on there. I mean, wait for your turn. So-and-so has got a job. Rejoice with them. So-and-so has got married. Rejoice with them. Come on, God. Come on. Let us learn how to rejoice with each other. Respect me or respect you. Hallelujah. You want to be respected? respected? Do you want to be respected? Learn how to respect others. Speak. The Bible says, let your speech be what? Be flavored with salt, you know? Flavor your speech. Before you utter those words, calculate them. How do they sound? If somebody was saying them to you, how would you react, my friend? It is very, it's going to be impossible for you to capture words that you have already spoken to eat them again. So be careful what you speak, in what circumstances. If possible, remove yourself from this situation rather than speak something that you will regret you ever spoke. Like you born babies, you must pray pure. Somebody say pure. That means it's fake spiritual milk. So that you will do what? Grow into a full experience. Somebody say full. That means there is a half experience of salvation. There's a quarter experience of salvation. How many of you want a full experience of salvation? I want it. So that you may go into a full experience of salvation. Churches are full of people who have never experienced the full experience of salvation. He says, cry out. Cry out. You should see these kids who are in these places where there's a drought. You see them on TV. You know, they are skinny. They are crying out for food. They are crying out for nourishment. Just some kind of porridge to go through their mouth. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Cry out, somebody. Why? Because without it, you cannot grow. Our son Elisha loved the Lord. A lot. So much so that before he went, he would sleep with the bottle in his mouth. He tried to remove it. I don't care how long he has been asleep. Try to remove it. I didn't know what would happen to his teeth. I thought there might be something else. Milk. A Christian should crave milk. It's pure milk. Pure milk. Pure spiritual milk. The word of God. You hear that? However, we should never remain children. Did you hear that? Elisha today, even if you put a glass of milk, guess what? In his table, he will not take it. You cannot believe it. He will not take it. I just cannot believe it. The guy who was milk, his second name was milk, but today he can't. You know why? Somebody here knows why. Why? He has grown. There comes a time when you outgrow the milk. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot live on milk forever. We cannot be babies forever. If you want to go to another level, you've got to outgrow some stuff. That's why last week we saw the eaglet outgrowing the nest. We should not remain small children in Christ. But through various stages, we must, somebody say must, mature into men and women in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. It's a rather long scripture. I'll read. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Why? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. To do what? To equip God's people to do what? To do his work. And number two, as we finish. Number one, you need to grow. after you have reached a state of maturity, there's another state that you need to keep taking. You need to keep renewing yourself. Somebody said it. That is why even our class, we've got to renew insurance. We've got to renew a road tax. If you are driving a car that has got outdated tax, guess what? The police will be beckoning you. They will be calling you for lunch. You've got to renew. Somebody say renew. Transformation by constant renewal, self-renewal. You yourself to renew. You yourself. All these things are you. Your responsibility, they are my responsibility. Romans 12, a common scripture that we know. Romans 12. Break up, guys. Romans 12. I didn't tell you the verse yet. I said Romans 12. Who told me the verse? Thank you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. To give what? Your bodies. Your bodies. The problem today is not the souls, by the way. It's not the abuses. It's the bodies. The bodies. Because, you know, the bodies never get saved. These bodies, you see, they never get saved. Heart is born again, the soul is born again, but the body is still as alive as it used to be. So that's why you yourself again, who? You! I plead with you to give your bodies, give them as a what? As an offering. Give them, before you give your offering in church, before you give your tithe in church, give your body, give yourself. I can't put it any other way. Your body is to God because of all he has done for you. And the Bible will say, present your bodies as what? As living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, we have gone through this. Sacrifices, before they were put on the altar, they were slaughtered and killed. But the problem with this kind of sacrifice that Paul is talking about is that it's still alive. And getting a body that is still alive, put it on the altar, the problem is that it keeps jumping off. It keeps jumping off. It's not a way of jumping off. You put yourself on the altar today, on Monday you are off. You know what I am talking about. Amen. There's something that tripped you last week, tripped you the other week. And, you know, if you do not remain on the altar, if you don't keep this body on the altar, if Paul says, I keep my body under subjection, I keep it under. This body has got the potential to destroy you. Doesn't matter how long you have been in ministry, how anointed you are, you know, how rich you are, how educated you are, this body will destroy you if you don't put it under check. I am pleading with you, Paul says, put those bodies as a living sacrifice before me. Put them on the altar. You want to grow higher? You want to go higher? Hold on. You've got to get yourself, tie yourself, lift yourself onto the water. Guess what? There will be things trying to take you off the water. There will be friends trying to take you off the water, but you need what? To fight. Resist. Then he says in verse 2, do not conform. Somebody say conform. Conform means accommodate. Do not accommodate or comply to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is what takes us away from that sacrifice, that altar. It's the patterns. You know the latest car. You know the latest. All these things, they are good. I love them myself. As a matter of fact, my dream car is a Range Rover. I will drive it one day. But let me tell you, it cannot take me away from the altar. The patterns of this world. Somebody said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world has got the mold, ladies and gentlemen. And all the time, right now, The world is moving. It's waiting for us out there, you know. It has got a moment to put us in that moment according to its patterns. Now, if you're a mature Christian who has grown what we have said, you will be molded, you will be put in that moment. You will begin to speak like the world. You will begin to dress like the world. You will begin to eat like the world. You will begin to drink like the world. You will begin to act. You will become the world. Somebody once said that I have looked for the church, I cannot find it. I have looked for the world and I found it in the church. You need to become too big to be molded by the world. Too big. At your place of baptism, there are things that are waiting to mold you. At school, there are things that are waiting to mold you. The word world means age. Paul, as a matter of fact, said, do not be conformed to this age. Paul calls this age evil. First, Galatians 1:4, Paul calls it evil. This age is evil. Age carries with it a sense of beliefs. The world has its own belief systems. If you're not careful, if you don't have a strong belief system in what you are believed in as a child of God, there are belief systems waiting for you out there. There are philosophies waiting for you out there. There are methodologies waiting for you out there. There are strategies and schemes. We've just sang a song here. No scheme of man. No scheme of man. No scheme of man will ever be able to pluck me out of his hand. That was the song we sang. Age. The schemes of the fallen man. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That age out there has got a God. True, the God is the devil. Now, in the Bible says it has blinded unbelievers. But you know what? Jesus said that when he was talking about the end time in Matthew 24 to 23, 24 to 25, he said, even the elect will be deceived. Even the elect who are here with one leg and one leg there, they will be deceived if you are not strong in the Lord. You need to fly higher than the world. This world, you see, is changing at a fast rate. The latest iPhone is already old. The moment they are launching it, it is old. Get a new car, drive it out of the car. The moment it is old. Do not sleep. The design guys are booking their heads. They are thinking ahead. They have got designs that are far ahead than what we are consuming right now. That is why you need to renew yourself so that you are ahead of the world. Ahead of the world. Have they brought a new one? It shouldn't threaten you. It shouldn't take you out. Like you said, you begin to kill, to step on tanks, to step on whatever you want, to step on, to get it. Why? Because you are a new higher there. With egos. Let the chicken scratch down there. You have to go higher. This age has wise men. It has wise scholars, philosophers, who believe that their answers to life are preferred over God's. But whose wisdom will lead them to nothing? 1 Corinthians 1:12 says, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant thinkers? Listen, God has made their wisdom look foolish. And Paul also, like Jesus, warns believers against being deceived into measuring wisdom by the standards of this age. And he suggests to us as believers in 1 Corinthians 3:18 to become fools if you want to be wise. Stop deceiving yourselves, he said. If you think you are wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. We are not to act like, you know, we are to act like the wise. We are not to act like the wise of this age. We've got to be different. We've got to follow a different God. The Bible, the Word of God, and you know that maturity. We've got to be mature. We need to know if the world, somebody puts, you know, there are people who will come. The Bible says they will come and say, Jesus is in the desert and people will go there. He's here, the prophet is there. If you're not grounded in the Word, you will this is the offensive measure that Paul prescribes as we finish. In that scripture in Romans 2, he says, do not do what? Conform yourself to what? To the world. But do what? Renew your mind. By renewing, he uses renewing, not renew. Renewing is a continuous word. It is a process. It is, again, it comes from the verb kainosis, which means to make new. But it is a combination of kainos and ana. Ana means again, again, again. Like a man who sharpens his sword, you've got to keep sharpening it again. If you want to remain up there, if you want to remain a strong Christian in today's fast-changing world, you need to be constantly renewing yourself in the word of God, in the truth of God, lest you be taken and swept away by every week of doctrine. Corinthians 4:16. That's why he says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Colossians 3:10, he says, put on a new nature. You put it on, not God. This morning I perceive that nobody looked at his wardrobe or her wardrobe and said, God, come and help me and choose what I want to put on. Okay, God, help me. Put this dress on me, God. Put it on me, God. Put on these shoes on me, God. No, you put them on yourself. You've got to get a hold of the old man. Put him off and put on the new man yourself and be renewed. The word is metamorphosis. You need to metamorphosis. You need to change. You need to change. There's got to be a marked change in your appearance, a marked change in your character, a marked change in your condition, a marked change in your fashion. And it's all by yourself. I will finish with this. The ego. As I told you, the ego has the longest span of its mission. It can live up to 70 years. You hear that? But to reach 70, it must make a hard decision when it comes to age 40. When it comes to age 40, it's long and flexible talons. The talons, these clouds, you know, they have gone too long and they can no longer grab food as bread. It's long and sharp, beak becomes bent. It's no longer effective at age 40. It's old and heavy wings are due to their thick feathers stick to its chest and it makes it difficult for it to fly. Then the ego is left only two options: die or go through a painful process of change, which lasts how many days? 150 days. Mathematicians, how many months ago? 5 months of total transformation to reinvent itself. What does it do? The process required that the ego fly to a high mountain top and sit in its nest. Then once there, it looks for a rock and begins to hit its beak against the rock until it's blacked out. It's not easy. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know how long it takes, but it wants it out. Why? Because it needs something new. Then after it's been blacked out, the ego will wait for a new beak to grow. And then after it has grown, it will then work on the talons using the new beak. Remove these talons. Remove them. Remove them because it wants to be sharp. Once it flies down, you know it can see a rabbit from 2 miles away. What's up there? It wants to come in the skin and sharp and take it. When then its new talons grow back, the ego starts plucking its old ego feathers, old aged feathers. Now after 5 months, the ego takes its most famous flight. Bath and lives for 30 years. As Christians, that's what the Bible says. If you wait upon the Lord, what will they do? They will raise you up. Expecting. It involves waiting. Waiting involves praying. Waiting involves serving. If I'm going to this, you know, some of you never go to this push restaurants. As if I go to You'll find somebody waiting for you there. You know, there is sleek waitress, the waiter. Like, how can we wait? How can we help you? They're waiting to do what? To wait on you. Somebody say, wait a moment. You need to wait upon God. Serving God takes you higher. Waiting for God in a place of prayer takes you higher. You need to let you. Why do we need to renew ourselves? Why do we need to change? Many times, in order to survive, we need to have to start the process of change. The process of change. We started as babies. All of us here, if you didn't know, we were once babies. Like that baby, Natasha is over there. All of you, not the ones as small as that, in case you have forgotten, let me remind you. But you had to grow. You had to be a process of growth, a process of change. That's why we call you an adult today. We sometimes need to get rid of old memories, habits, past traditions that keep weighing us down like that ego, holding us back and aging us spiritually. You can become old spiritually, outdated spiritually, outmoded spiritually. That's why we need to renew ourselves on a constant basis. It's a painful experience, but it's requiring going higher, working on yourself, and waiting upon the Lord. Even the youth will become weak and tired, and men will fall in exhaustion. Those who trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, will find his strength, and they will soar higher than others. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This way, you can never fall for the devil's schemes. You can never fall for the devil's schemes. Father, in the name of our Lord,
yes,
this afternoon, we thank you for your word. Father, we receive it over there. Father, King of Kings, help us to grow from childish stuff into maturity in you, maturity in your grace, maturity in your knowledge, maturity in right living with you, maturity in righteousness. Help us, King of Kings, to find a place, to find a time, to stop and ask ourselves and consider where we need to change and fly high on that mountain like that ego did, does, offer the Lord, who climbed to the mountain just like you took your day, you went to the mountain of transfiguration where you were transfigured before the very eyes of Peter, James, and John. That Heavenly Father, we may be metamorphosed, Father Lord, out of the old into the new, my God, that we may be able to be effective as effective Christians. You want us to become God. Empower us, my Father. It's not easy, but King of Kings, let your wind, let your powerful wind blow beneath our wings and take us to the next level as we soar to higher levels.